everybody. Welcome to Journey into Wrestling, the one and only wrestling spinoff podcast of Journey into Comics, which you're on right now. I'm your host, Brando, right along with my tag team partner, Nate.
10. Brandon, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. So we are now, as of today, just here in about a couple hours of my time, you know, 1 week removed from the whole, big event of the year known as WrestleMania. What number was this one? 33? I don't remember. They don't put the number in the logo anymore. I have a hard time remembering. I just called this one WrestleMania Sunshine.
You did that thing where I think it was at 31, they started with different symbols, and it was, how do you use it? Play symbol.
Yeah, play button.
The first one. And then, Cowboy Star.
Yeah.
Is the second one. And then this is now WrestleMania Sunshine. They didn't even say the name of the venue this year at WrestleMania. It was the Citrus Bowl. Somebody bought it out, and it's like some pretentious law firm company's name now. Vince hated it, so he actually did something that I thought was pretty cool and said, if you're going to call it anything, we're at the Citrus Bowl, because that's what this technically is, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, and then next year they're back at New Orleans again, and that really – I don't know. I'm just not happy about it. They're going back there too soon, in my opinion. I think they should have went to Minneapolis.
They're going way too soon. Also, here's another thing, Brando. This is 4 WrestleManias in a row that are all in the South. New Orleans. Where was 31?
That was in Santa Clara. That was in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, that's right. It was in Cisco. And then it was Dallas, and then we had Florida, Miami, and then now we're going back to New Orleans. I mean, I just it's weird to me that they're doing this. But I tell you what, Brando, honestly, we're going to take this from NXT TakeOver Orlando, kind of the mecca, you know, NXT setting themselves apart, and we're going to take that all the way until NXT after WrestleMania. And the WWE put out like 26 hours of maybe some of the best wrestling content in the past 5 years.
Man, I still haven't watched either NXT event, and I just want to take a second here. This is our first podcast back since LaFeyCon. I mean, for those that are listening, we got to host LaFeyCon this year in Lafayette, Indiana, and at the venue, we did a live show. That was 132. Of Journey into Comics, and for the rest of April, we're going to have the panels come out as actual episodes. I've put them together to make cool, like, about an hour and a half episodes. But there's something that happened on the second day of LaFeyCon when we had the panel with John Tyler Christopher, Marvel Star Wars comic cover artist, and independent comic book artist and story writer, Andy Cordy. We did that panel, and it's funny because the day before we found out that when we did just John, we found out that he was a massive wrestling fan. And right before the panel, we were geeking out just a little bit about wrestling, and then it was hilarious because Nate, I got to watch some of the video back. And guys, the episodes are going up with the panels kind of combined to you know, the first one goes up. I believe we're recording this on Saturday night, so by the time you hear this, for that first panel episode should already be up. I think we're going to launch JIW like in the middle of the week or something, maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday, but on Monday is when we launch JIC. So the first one with Brian K. Morris and Fiberglass Freaks, the Batmobile guys, is freaking awesome, but I digress, Tangent City. So, Nate, I got to watch back some of the tape, and have you ever seen in Family Guy where they make fun of news network shows or talk shows where the dude is interviewing somebody, and then they say goodnight, and then the camera zooms out, and, like, the music is playing, and the people's mouths are just talking like they're talking to each other, like, you don't know what they're saying.
But they're not really saying anything?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Basically, that happened at LaFeyCon with me and John. Poor Andy, I feel so bad because me and John just were too excited. we spent that entire panel talking about comics, and we needed to nerd out about wrestling for a second. Because if you watch on the video, as soon as we end that panel, of course, Mike Norris, co-host for Game Addicts, he hit the music to play over, and you just see me and John start erratically talking with our hands. Like, we are just like, you see us, we're into it. We're having, and I remember us talking about wrestling. I remember us talking about, like, The Miz or whatever. And Andy's, like, coming over to shake our hands and say, hey, thanks for the panel. And I'm pretty sure I did. I shake his hand, yeah. But me and John are like eyes locked. Like, we need to talk about this right now. And
he needs to be on this show at some point as a special guest. I mean, he's just, I feel like he's going to be a really knowledgeable wrestling fan.
Oh, I mean, I have his information, and we are going to try to, in the next month or two, try and get you back down here, and we are going to try and get a podcast together with this guy, whether it's, you know, one big all-encompassing Journey into Comics episode, like, you know, where we talk about almost like our panel with him. Our first panel was just a little bit of everything.
We definitely riffed with him on that one.
That was awesome. But
one of my favorites.
Same, because I mean the other panels were great too, but you know, I was a little nervous in some of those because I had to make sure to, I mean, maybe it's a little bit more interview style, keep the flow going a little bit,
constantly be engaging with the guests.
And I mean, that's not hard for us, but I mean, you don't want to be sitting there and all of a sudden you can't think of anything.
Correct.
You know, and it was in that way. I mean, talking with John was just like talking to any one of our friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Riffing about whatever. But, you know, I didn't get a chance to watch NXT. We did the after party, of course. Your band, Walk Among Us, played first, and then we stayed for the whole venue. I didn't get a chance to watch NXT. I, of course, saw the results. I saw who won. And that hasn't necessarily deterred me from watching it. It's just been time. And so you want to give me your thoughts on NXT?
Yeah, I'll just, you know what? I'm going to, in the spirit of Wrestle Talk News with Ollie Davis, I don't know if you watched that. He's kind of become one of my, like, kind of favorite people that talk wrestling on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
They do the Wrestle Talk News, and he likes to do, like, reviews in under 4 minutes. And so, inspired by that, I want to do a quick NXT review in under 4 minutes, just about the things that really, like, kind of were important in the event. So, the Authors of Pain, the Revival, and DIY put on, again, in my opinion, one of the greatest triple threat tag team matches of all time, and I'm serious. It's just impressive that they can put that kind of work in with each other. There's such a cohesion between those three teams. You know, they really are striving to make names for themselves down at NXT, and it shows when, and we're going to kind of get into all these things. Monday Night Raw, the Revival showed up, and it's just like one of these great things where they didn't go out on top in NXT. They did what you're supposed to do, and they bowed out gracefully. And, you know, the Authors of Pain are still champs. And then the Revival make their debut on the Raw roster. So that match was pretty awesome. I want to talk about Asuka and Ember Moon. I love this match. I just think it was poorly booked. I think Ember Moon should have went over, in my opinion. But maybe they're just waiting a little bit longer to keep the title on Asuka. But it was funny, after NXT, after WrestleMania, Asuka, they had a little interview with her, which would have been filmed like right after her match with Ember Moon. And they said, well, what's next for you? And she said, ha, what's next? Who's left? And she walked off. And I was just like, yeah, you guys haven't really planned this out. Like, unless you've got some big name you're keeping from everyone that you plan on signing. I don't know if there's any free agents in that world. But it doesn't seem like there's anyone left for Asuka. And I don't know why you don't give it to Ember Moon. She's hot right now. People love her. They want to see her win the title. And I just, it's one of those things. Maybe they don't think the timing's quite right, but I do. And I think she needs to be champion. Moving on to the main event. Bobby Roode versus Shinsuke Nakamura, an instant classic, maybe the best NXT title match ever. I mean, one of, they're so great. They work so well together, and I can't wait for now Bobby Roode to come up to the main roster, because, again, as you know, Shinsuke debuted on SmackDown. We'll get into that later. But Brandon, overall, this was a great event. NXT is just proving again how they're leaps and bounds above everyone else in a smaller scale. I mean, they're like the most professional semi-pro league that exists if you were talking like baseball, you know?
Yeah, I got the flavor that maybe at some point, you know, I might have mentioned this on the last podcast, but with them, that rumor about them trying to buy Ring of Honor and the fact that they were once involved in trying to buy Impact Wrestling, trying to limit competition because I think they're trying to make their smaller brand, NXT, a bigger place to grow talent, if that makes any sense. Like, where they can get more of an independent flavor with these stars that come in from the independents to help draw. And maybe none of these stars, you know, I can definitely see them at some point saying that you guys are probably never going to make it to the main roster, but you guys fit here.
And I mean, so, there are definitely going to be people like that.
And so, I mean, that's what was said to Kevin Owens at one point. Dude, I don't know if you heard that.
I didn't actually hear that.
No. When they signed him, they sold him and said, "You are not what we're looking for." They said like you said you are here in NXT, and as of right now, don't ever plan on going up to the main roster. Just don't, because you're not what they're looking for. And I'll be damned if you know. I mean, that got blown right out of the water.
Because, do you think sometimes that they say stuff like that to guys they know just need a little push?
I mean, and they might, but I guarantee you they say some of that stuff because they don't see them as that. I mean, there's a lot of times where Vince doesn't see it. Vince was dead set against making Rey Mysterio world champion, but people had to talk him into it.
Yeah.
He couldn't see Rey Mysterio as a world champion at his size. Vince kind of has blinders on when it comes to that kind of thing sometimes. And
he's very archaic in that manner, Brando. I mean, he's very much like his father, I think.
When Vince is set in his ways, he's set in his ways.
Correct.
And I listened to the Something to Wrestle With podcast, Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard. And he said something today that the episode launched on Friday. It's the Undertaker 1993 to 1994 episode. And he said something today as to why they didn't give up on the Giant Gonzalez everything was pointing at this is not going to work. And it really made me think about where the landscape is now and where we are with certain people. They said, or Bruce said, when the last thing that you want to tell Vince is this isn't going to work when he feels differently. Or if you say this guy isn't it, this guy isn't the direction when Vince feels differently, because he will spend every dime that he has to prove you wrong and to see, for you to see what he sees. And only when the company is in dire straits and it has proven without a shadow of a doubt that you are wrong or that he is wrong, will he shift views. I mean, obviously that kind of thing happened with Lex Luger back in the 90s. You know, 93, when he faced Yokozuna at SummerSlam, he was white hot. If they were ever going to put the belt on him, that would have been it. But they didn't do it because Vince is like, you know what would be great? If we do it in Mania, it'd be even bigger. But Lex fucking fizzled out before then.
Yeah.
And no one was more popular in the company at the time than Brett. So he went with Brett when, you know, there was no other choice. I see the same thing with Roman, where he feels Roman has it. I like Roman Reigns a lot. He tries so hard out there. He is not the greatest on the microphone. They can work around that. I mean, if you're telling me like 10 years ago when everybody was so sick of Cena that they wouldn't have taken a Roman Reigns then, they would have.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Brandon, yeah. I'm really happy that you started here with Roman, because I think that's the biggest news coming out of WrestleMania, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it's by this point, but by the time we're talking about it now, since we didn't watch WrestleMania together this year, that we didn't, because it, I mean, I watched the pre-show going home from LaFegan. I put it on my phone and I listened to the Cruiserweight title match. And because LaFegan closed its doors on Sunday at 5. Pre-show started right at 5.
Yep.
And yeah, by the time I got home, I want to say the Battle Royal was going on. And so, like, you and we talked about maybe watching it together still. And in a way, I'm kind of glad we didn't, because, like,
oh man,
it was such a long show, dude.
It was, you know what? It's bizarre to me, because this is, and I share this sentiment after Mania was over. It might have been one of, if not the best Mania in the past decade. You said that 31 might be top for you. But I don't know. There were so many great moments in this WrestleMania. It seemed like they did the smart thing. Not a lot of matches were booked for 45 minute plus, you know, marathons. You know, the women's title match only went, the Raw women's title match, I think, only went 12 minutes. And they had everything going for them so well. They had huge surprises, you know, shocking finishes. So it was really bizarre, because some of those moments, and we're going to talk about those here in a minute, to have been in the same room with you would have been totally overwhelming for various reasons. To kind of start, and we're here at the Roman Reigns thing, so it's obvious now, people know that Roman, the direction they decided to go, they didn't really fully turn him heel. Oh, there's no disqualification in this match, no count out or whatever. You know, it just, there has to be a winner. So, of course, Roman uses the chair, but it's not, you know, he doesn't use it super maliciously. It's more of a, oh, I can't put this guy down. I need something. But he beat The Undertaker. He's only the second person to ever do it. The Undertaker's once spotless record has now arguably been tainted with one and maybe two of the worst names that could have been the streak enders for various reasons. Very surreal moment, Brandon, seeing him leave the ring as he did, you know, and took the gloves off and everything.
Yeah. By your token, though, by saying the two worst names, like, who is in the spot ready to do it? Because it's, you know, the names are very few, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's all about timing, Brando. Part of me argues that at one point, at WrestleMania 21, you could have ended the streak with Undertaker and Randy Orton being the heir to that throne. I mean, he was the Viper at the time. He was building this the Legends Killer persona.
And then it wouldn't have, if you ended it then that's before it became legendary, you know?
I guess that is true.
They were just starting to, like, make it into something. Undertaker wanted the next year to be the end. Did you know that? From what I understand.
I didn't.
22.
Who did he face at 22? Mark Henry?
He wasn't the chosen. Kurt Angle was the guy that Undertaker had pitched to beat him at WrestleMania at 22.
That would have been amazing.
And that match ended up happening at No Way Out, the pay-per-view before that. And that match is phenomenal. And, but it's like, okay, to have the streak end, it's like, when I saw him lose to Brock, that was right before I had joined the podcast a few months.
Correct.
Like, I thought for sure it was it. Like, I was just like anybody else. I was watching it live, and the three hit, and I was like, what? Because everybody expected him to kick out of that, and he didn't. And then I'm sitting here, and I'm digesting it, and as I go back and watch that, because while the match may have suffered because of Taker's injury, that you know that he suffered during the match. That moment is one of the most legendary moments in our history of wrestling.
Correct.
We as our generation, we don't get those very often. You know,
I mean, think about it, Brando. You're not gonna. There's two things I can tell you now with almost certainty. There will never be, as far as what I can consider, any kind of wrestling streaks that matter anymore. Because, I say this because, you now have had somebody like The Undertaker who had an unimaginable WrestleMania streak. You can't recreate that. It's too genuine. Mm-hmm. It was too accidental, let's say. At first, they weren't planning it.
Yeah, it didn't start really becoming a thing until 21, until 22, and then 23, and then 24, and then it is every year is like, who's he facing next? Who's he facing next? Who's he facing next? And then by the time you get to 30, and now it's Brock Lesnar, and when Lesnar beat him, I thought for sure he was done, and I got really emotional. I was like, that's one of the reasons why I think WrestleMania 30, when I said that this one is probably third, and I put 31, then 30. 30 to me is such the emotional coaster, roller coaster, and this one is too. It has a lot of ups and it has some downs, but that down was like, because you was put right in the middle of the Daniel Bryan, you know, rise and his big moment. And Kat, will you shut up? Can you hear him at all?
Oh, actually, I could. It was quite funny. I was sitting back here going, I wonder if that's Gohan.
No, it's Silas. He's, like, reaching underneath my door, like, like, he's just, like, he is in complete and utter pain right now.
I would get a squirt bottle.
I don't...
Wait, I do have one.
Leave me alone, kitty. I'm trying to talk WrestleMania. Oh, come on. It's spritzing. It's not squirting. Oh, it's spritzing. Gotcha. All right. What I was saying, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I had wrote him off saying, that's it, he's done. I even posted on my personal Instagram, thank you, Taker. I hashtag thank you, Taker back then. Because I'm like, yep. But then he came back the next year, and he wrestled a good match. And he came back another year. And then after that, he did the other two matches with Brock. And had some really great matches out of those, man. And, and those matches wouldn't have happened. Like, do you shut up? If those matches wouldn't have happened if you had Taker win like that, because then you have Taker coming in and he's like hot. He's tired of it. And then we get to this one. And they tell a story, and the story echoes a little bit of HBK's retirement a little bit. And you're right, they didn't turn Roman heel. And in fact, he even hesitated to cover him in the end. But
yeah.
But he did. And then he got it. And yeah. Seeing Taker at the streak. That was emotional, and this was almost just as. It sucked, but it was so awesome at the same time because, dude, okay, when they get back from like the replays, you know, and he's standing in the ring with his gear on, and I'm like, what the hell does he have his gear back on for? I've never seen him put his gear back on. I'm like, he must be cold. And then he's, you know, he's like looking around, you know, and I'm like, he's soaking it in, man. I'm like, oh man, this is it. Yep, this is it. And then he starts undoing the gloves. I'm like, oh man. And then he puts the gloves in the ring, and then he puts the jacket down. And then he takes the hat off one last time, and he does the dead man face with the eyes. And when he gets the hat off, he sighs. He goes, and that was like, that did it. That broke me as a fan. That broke me as a person. And I'm like, well, he, in that moment, he let go of everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's, I mean, he's one of the characters of wrestling that outlasted everything else.
Yeah.
He was a gimmick that became a legend.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I mean, he was in an era where gimmicks were gimmicks. I mean, and I say that, and you mean what? It's like, well, they had the gobbledygooker at one point. You know, they had yeah. a tax man. They had, you know, the repo man, all this, Doink the Clown. Even though the original Doink the Clown concept was amazing, where it was like semi Heath Ledger Joker-esque, you know?
Yeah.
But he surpassed all of that. And became something more, became, you know, they once said Hulkamania is immortal. And I really feel like The Undertaker is truly immortal. He never left. He never did anything else. He never went anywhere else. The moment that he signed and became The Undertaker, he was The Undertaker through many different variations, through many different iterations. Through ups and downs, he became something bigger. He never went to Hollywood. He never went to movies. He was WWF. He was WWE. He was a locker room leader. He didn't need to be champion. His character was bigger than the belt. But when needed to, he would take it.
So, Brando, I have a revelation that just came to me. I know why they're having WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans.
Hall of Fame.
Because Taker will be in the Hall of Fame. And he'll do it. He'll be put in the Hall of Fame where the streak ended. And it'll be a beautiful moment. Who inducts him? Kane?
That'd be
my Austin?
Idea. Vince.
Vince?
Not Mr. Holy McMahon, Vince. I mean, that's what I would do.
Who in the when is the last time Vince or Mr. McMahon has inducted somebody? Austin. I can't remember.
Austin, and that was it.
That was it. That was the only one.
So he after he takes the hat off and places it down, he sort of looks around the crowd again, takes it in, and now people are, you know, they're chanting and they're all realizing it's over and that this wasn't advertised as a, you know, retirement match. And honestly, I don't think he ever wanted it to be that. He never wanted it to be advertised. He just wanted to like go in, pass the torch to someone who's going to be around. And I read something, somebody commented on a post because there's a lot of negativity towards Roman Reigns. You know.
Oh yeah.
And I get it. He's being pushed down our throats, and I don't like that. And I feel like they need to take a step back just a little bit. But now that he's beaten The Undertaker and ended him, it's like, how the fuck do you do that? You know, without turning him full blown heel, or there's a creative way to do it, because you, for this guy to be the top guy in the company, Cena's not going to be around forever here in like a few years. He's going to be in and out for the next few years, I guarantee you. Roman needs to be the guy to carry this company. To get him there, to get fan interest in him at all-time peak, you need to do something creative. I think this is the perfect time to do it, but a lot of people were like, both times you picked the absolute worst person, you know, for him to lose to. And somebody said, if The Undertaker didn't have a problem losing to Roman Reigns, then you shouldn't have a problem with it either.
I mean, that's pretty good. I think it's stagnation, Brando. And I want to talk about the Roman Reigns thing real quick, because the current thing that people are sharing is, if you want Roman Reigns to change as a character, be silent.
Yeah, yeah.
You must silence the Roman Empire, you know, and I think that's a – maybe we can get that hashtag trending or something, like silence the Roman Empire. But that's the way to do it, because people – I mean – people going on Monday Night Raw and chanting, fuck you, Roman, or shut the fuck up. or go away or any of those things. Like, listen, he's over because he's got so much heat. You guys don't even realize his heat has heat. You know, when you're saying something passionately about how much you hate him as a character, he is successfully doing his job. And while I don't hate Roman as a person, I think he's a very talented individual. I think his mic skills are very, very lacking, and he can work on that. That's fine. But I think that they've just been misguided with how to build him. And I think now is the time where, you know, I almost think like Superstar Shakeup, what if one of two things needs to happen? Either he needs to not want to leave Raw and get traded, or he wants to go to SmackDown and get stuck. But either way, he ends up spearing Vince McMahon on Raw. Because then you do turn him heel. Then you do give him heat. You gave him heat against the chairman, you know, and then you can bill it as who's the chairman going to pull out of his back pocket to stop this atrocity that was the attack from Roman Reigns, and then, you know, whatever show he's on has consequences. I don't know. I feel like if the Superstar Shakeup thing is really what they're going for, and they really want to try to creatively shake up the landscape, now's the time to do it.
Okay, I think what we're gonna do now is that we're gonna run down a card, yeah, because we went right to the very end, which is not something we normally do, but I mean that is the that was the elephant in the room.
I mean, I feel like they're honestly, Brandon, no offense to some of the matches, but we don't even really need to spend a lot of time even going into them. Just saying the result is going to be good enough. There are the highlight matches that we need to talk about when we
Yeah,
bring them up. Because I
Neville.
think, like, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just saying Neville defeated Austin Aries in a good match. I listened to it. I didn't see it.
I disagreed with the match ending with Neville winning, but
It didn't
I
bother me.
digress.
It didn't really bother me because you can't always have the outcome that the fans want. And a lot of this, what we got here tonight, is what the fans wanted. So you
I was
gotta.
gonna say it was a rare night where most of the things we wanted was, in fact,
Yeah,
what we got.
Neville winning here is okay because Austin's going to be around. Mojo Rawley wins the 33-man battle royal. I was like, when Strowman got eliminated, I said, "Who do they have win now, Mojo?" And he fucking won. I said it jokingly, and then he ended up winning. Last eliminating Jinder Mahal. Gronk got involved. From is it the Patriots? I don't do sports ball.
Yeah, he's a patriot. It was weird.
Dude, that one security chick, like, totally, like roughed him up, like she wasn't in on it. He was supposed to be jumping the barrier, and dude, she about took him down, man.
Just trying to give him hell, my friend.
Ambrose defeated Corbin. IC match. That match kind of disappointed me. Wasn't much of anything. Those are the pre-show matches. Just on the side, we probably will forget to mention it. If I don't say it now, Ambrose and Corbin had like a rematch and a street fight on SmackDown that was really good.
Yeah, that was really good. I wasn't really clear that it wasn't for the IC title.
It
It
wasn't.
sounded like I know that now, but I was so I when I was watching it, because I kind of was in and out, I didn't realize that the title wasn't online. So when Baron Corbin won, I just literally was like, fuck. They just put the Baron Corbin's name has just tainted the Intercontinental title. What the hell? And then it actually wasn't the case. And I was like, oh, okay. It was just a street fight.
Well, I mean, Santino's held the IC belt, so.
Hey, I like Santino Moretta.
I wonder if we can find like some worse IC champions than Baron Corbin. I'm looking at the list
Oh.
of inter. Oh, come on. Google's not helping me out.
Well,
Come
while you're looking up
on.
that, I'll start by saying I know the first match on the main card was Here Comes the Money, Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles.
Damn good match.
Honestly, it was a barn burner of a match, Brando. It was great. They did work. AJ proving yet again you could put him in there with a brown paper bag and he would put on a five-star quality match every night. Not to say that Shane is not talented in his own right, but man, were they elevated against each other.
They really, Shane really impressed me in this. Shane's never been known for his, like, you know, ring work too much. He's been more of a high spot guy. But man, they really brought it, and they did a damn good match. And you know, they did the spots with the trash can where AJ missed or he got hit, and then Shane hit him, and then Shane attempted to go for the elbow through the announce table and then missed, and then missed a shooting star press. That was like, that had me like, Shane hit hard coming down from that.
Oh, yes, he did. I thought he hurt himself for sure.
But, you know, a damn good match. Crowd was really into it. One of those rare matches where, like, the fans, like, when you have, like, a heel that the fans want to boo, they tend to boo the the baby face. And they weren't booing Shane at all. They gave both guys props, so.
Yeah, and, you know, to continue about what kind of happens after Mania, AJ got a little potato shiner.
He did, man. He got a little black eye going on.
So Shane hit him with one of them. I don't know which one it was, but he got him. But a show of respect, and it looks like they might be pushing AJ as a face on the other side of WrestleMania, which excites me. Mm-hmm. I love his heel work. I think he's one of the greatest heels in the modern era of wrestling, like talking, you know, 2005 and beyond. But honestly, man, it was cool, you know, to have him come out to the ring and shake Shane's hand and, you know, say, give him props or whatever, and that he wants to stay on SmackDown. I love that. I feel like he's probably not going to stay on SmackDown, but I really wish he would.
Nope.
Shinsuke just debuted over there, you know, and I think that's, we need to see some of those matches on WWE programming.
Definitely, but yeah, I definitely think he's getting moved. When it comes to the worst IC champion, okay, so Baron Corbin hasn't won it yet, but I have three.
Okay.
One who claims to be the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time.
Okay.
Honky Tonk Man.
Okay, yeah, he's downright bad, but he is a long-reigning Intercontinental Champion of all the times.
He is. We have Santino Marella.
I love Santino's work as a character, but he wasn't the greatest in-ring technician.
And then Ezekiel Jackson.
Oh my God, I forgot Ezekiel Jackson won the IC title.
Me too.
Wow. That's why he's on the list.
Yeah.
Because he's totally unforgettable. Holy cow.
He's totally forgettable.
Or totally forget. You knew what I meant.
Curtis Axel, I forgot he was IC champion.
Yeah, they've not utilized him well. He could be a...
He held up for 156 days. He won it in he won it in June and lost it in November.
Dang. That was one of his only pushes, though.
Yeah.
And it stagnated, man.
I forgot Luke Harper held it, too. Well, but like for like a month, but...
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be championing again soon now that he's on his own. Dude, where's he? Okay, so yeah.
AJ second won. Match on the card.
Owens versus Jericho. Good match. I missed the ending because we had to put Wyatt to bed. Like when I walked out of the bedroom, Owens was holding the belt. So I'm like, oh, he won. Damn it.
Reversal into a pop up powerbomb for a pin. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, a good match. Unfortunately, I missed just the ending, and then I also missed the damn replay of it too. So I had to watch it later. But I was kind of hoping Jericho would get the win just to push it to the next pay-per-view where Owens would win. But
well, it's strange though because there is a rematch with Jericho,
yeah,
challenging for the title, and I will say, I mean, spoiler alert, Fozzy's going on tour this summer.
Yeah.
It starts in May, and I mean, you know, the next pay-per-view is at the end of April, so you tell me if he's going to win. I don't think so.
Next match, the Fatal 4-Way Elimination match for the Raw Women's title. Good match.
Way too short.
It was a bit short, not as short as the SmackDown women's.
True.
But all of them worked hard here. Even Nia looked good. I liked the triple team moves that they did to Nia. Man, I'm trying to think. Was it Charlotte and Sasha that folded Nia up like a wallet?
Oh yeah.
With that backdrop, that was crazy. I was actually kind of worried that she hurt herself there for a second, but then they gut her out with that triple power bomb, and then they all piled, like, you know, dog piled on her, and got her eliminated first, which actually kind of protects her. So that way it's like, it took three people to take one girl out, you know?
Correct. I mean, man, I tell you what, Nia Jax is quickly becoming one of my favorite female in-ring performers. There's a couple things that we've talked about she needs to work on. Not flinching when the one little girl is hitting her. No offense. But in comparison, if I'm walking around like Nia Jax and Bayley hits me, she's going to be needing to pack a hell of a punch to make me actually feel it and flinch. You know what I'm saying? So that's maybe the only thing she really needs to work on. But she's starting to kind of have that Awesome Kong vibe about her.
She's starting to get there. She's definitely improving a lot. So, I mean, I just looked up her Wikipedia. She is of Samoan and German ancestry. And of course, she's a cousin of The Rock. She decided to pursue a career in wrestling after watching The Rock perform at WrestleMania 28.
Wow, took her a while.
Well, she's 32.
Wow, that's actually even more surprising.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't see The Rock wrestle at 17 or at 18 or 16 or at 20? I think he wrestled at 20. He didn't wrestle at 20. He was gone, but anyways,
no. He wrestled at 20. He tagged him with Mick against Evolution.
That's right, against Evolution. Evolution is a mystery. Throw you into electricity.
What the fuck?
When they did that to Goldust, don't you remember, man?
Oh, yeah.
And then he got the stutter deep down in the cockles of his heart.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, man. Come on now. With Booker T. Five times.
All the stuff they've made him do, man.
I can't wait for him to get inducted someday, honestly.
It'd be great.
A different kind of storied career for sure, you know? Yeah. He maybe never held the biggest gold, but he was a goddamn good character.
I'm trying to stay awake, man. I'm dog tired.
Next on the card,
we had the triple threat. Wait, hold on. Fatal four-way elimination or fatal four-way tag team ladder
match?
New
Day. The New Day are coming out. I'm telling you, the New Day are coming out to they're going to challenge. They're going to, wait a minute. They're announcing something, Brandon. What are they doing? I could not believe it. I will honest to godly tell you, I stood up on my coffee table. I was so excited because the Hardys surprise return at WrestleMania 33. Are you kidding?
I texted
you. What were
your
thoughts, dude?
I texted you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the text was, holy fuck, are you behind?
Yeah, and I think at that point I was like just finishing the AJ Shane match. But then when I got there, man, at first I kind of thought like I was like, oh, it's definitely the Hardys. And then like the New Day kind of almost gave that swerve like they were going to go to the ring. And I was like, oh, that's an even more interesting swerve that I wasn't expecting. But then it was the Hardys. And I'll tell you, they swerved me even further because they win the titles.
Yeah.
What? They've held the TNA, ROH, and WWE tag titles in under 2 months of each other. They're technically still the TNA tag champs.
I know. That's crazy.
Even though they made those titles obsolete and they deleted them into the waters.
Dude, that crowd was hot. That crowd was hot for them.
Oh, man. And they were chanting delete. Listen. If you're not going to do the Shattered Hardys, do the Extremely Broken Hardys. team extremely broken.
For the time being, from what I understand, they're going to do kind of like a nostalgia Team Extreme run here until they can get the legal issues with the broken thing figured out. And then there is definitely the possibility that we'll be seeing the broken universe brought in. WWE is, they're all for wanting to do it, but they just need to make sure we need to get there. So for now, we're going to be seeing Matt and Jeff as the old school WWF Team Extreme. Matt is doing some of his broken Matt stuff that he can kind of get away with doing, where he just, he isn't doing the character, but he's doing the
it's
delete.
Phrasing.
He's doing the delete chance, and he is doing some of the, you know, marvelous or whatever. He'll say something in the ring or something, and then he has like the look and like, you know, like the mannerism a little bit.
That distant off stare.
Whoever would have thought that when we first reviewed, the Final Deletion last year at Villains Con, like with,
yeah,
I think that's the first time we talked about it.
Episode like two or three of this show.
I think it was three because it was like me, you, and Tony, and we were in like the Geek Entertainment Society. Is that what they're called?
I think so. Yes.
Now see, they changed their name, and I can't remember what it was, but you know, some of our friends that invited us down to Villains Con, we were in their game room off to the side of the main hall, and we were just like, hey, let's do some podcasts while we're sitting here. And we talked about it. And whoever would have thought when we did that episode that we'd be at WrestleMania the next year with 75,000 people going insane chanting delete, 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 delete. Because
Matt Hardy reinvented himself, bro.
He did. He absolutely did. You know, he was never, ever as big as Jeff. And there's no denying that. But now, with this broken character, he has become something else, something different, something to where he could rival as big as Jeff has been. You know, I want to say he won the TNA title, didn't he?
Matt did.
I thought he did.
Matt was champ. Yeah, yeah, for sure. He definitely was.
But them winning the belts, them coming out, I, of course, had heard, like, you know, the rumor that they're going to be signing on soon, and I'm like, I am thinking that they are going to you know, debut the night after Mania, but the debut at Mania. And yeah, I mean, they end up winning the belts. It was pretty crazy.
I just thought something was gonna happen when Matt got on the ladder. I was just like, oh, he's not actually gonna pull that title down, something's coming. And then it didn't, and I was like, oh my god, this is, like, I marked out so hard because I couldn't even, like you said, I knew the possibility of the Hardys returning was strong. There had been talks and rumors and things building day to day to day to day and all the teasing and stuff. But then it was like, man, they just blew it open. And now, name a more white hot tag team in the company right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you really can't, and it's crazy because the tag team division has been consistently great since we had the brand split again. Speaking of which, one of the tag teams isn't a tag team anymore. Vaude Villains, you're gone.
Yeah, Gotch got released.
Simon Gotch got released. But tell you what's funny about that, I believe he was released on Monday, and on Tuesday when they did the SmackDown, the Superstar Shakeup thing still had his picture. I'm pretty sure he did get shaken up. It's just not how he thought.
Well, actually, no. It was a mutually agreed upon release, from what I understand.
So he felt like he wasn't getting used properly.
Well, he also got in a fight with Sin Cara, like, last year.
Oh.
I don't know exactly what's going on with that.
What's the next match on a WrestleMania card, Brando, after the amazing Hardy return? We can't stop talking about it. It was so fucking cool.
The mixed tag team match, John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maryse.
Called it. I have called it.
Yep.
I called the wrong team winning. But I definitely called the right after the match was over thing.
Yep.
But Brando, I tell you what, for this being a mixed tag match at WrestleMania and typically those not being things I really even remotely care about, I really was into this.
Crowd was hot. Crowd was super into The Miz, which is, you could tell he was eating it up.
He's maybe the second best heel the company has right now.
If not number one. I mean,
with AJ possibly switching and going babyface. Yeah,
I see. I think Miz has been beating out AJ because I think AJ is such a natural babyface, in my opinion, that Miz can actually go out there and get real heel heat. AJ, the fans want to cheer him because they like him. The Miz can be like, they just like, they can turn off and boo the Miz and won't think twice about it. But in this setting, when he's going up against Cena, and the fans are you know, vehemently anti Cena, them cheering so much and doing the yes chants for the kicks, I found it very entertaining. The cool thing is that after Cena and Nikki won and they went ahead with the proposal, the fans didn't shit all over it as much as I thought they would.
And, yeah, they were actually really cool about it.
And honestly, I think they were about to shit all over it, but then John kind of got real with it. You know?
Yeah.
And it makes me think that maybe they've been engaged for a while in real life and haven't told anybody. And
ooh, that makes sense.
And that maybe, you know, I'm just throwing this out here that maybe it happened a little while ago, and this is mainly kind of just, they kind of wanted to keep that private, but this is for like the TVs, this is for like the cameras, because of the Total Bellas and all that shit. And yeah. That may have been, but then again, and like John did a good job of making it seem like, it was legit, and when they embraced, he definitely like said something into her ear and shit, and seemed to get choked up a little bit too while he was doing it. So.
Yeah, it was honestly like a pretty beautiful moment for John Cena. Again, it's weird, the transformation of me as a person and the transformation of my feelings of John Cena. I loved him. I loathed him. And now I just respect the shit out of the guy now. I mean, you know, John Cena is John Cena is John Cena. He never wavered from that. I would love to see him do a heel run. But this was a nice little thing to set himself off into the sunset for a little bit of time, go take a break. Do his Hollywood thing, show some support to his soon-to-be niece or nephew. I'm not sure which one Brie is having.
I believe they're
that's
having
soon,
a girl.
Right?
I believe they're having a girl.
That's really soon. Like, she's about to burst.
I do believe they're having a girl, and her name is Birdie.
Oh, that's right. You know what? You did tell me that, Birdie. Yeah. So, yeah, awesome there. But Miz doing amazing work on SmackDown Live after WrestleMania.
That was great.
Maybe one of the most entertaining Miz segments. And I mean, that's hard to really put a spotlight on because he has had so many different great segments. But God, he does a good John Cena. I mean, he's got it all down. He's got the shimmy shakes and everything. It was hilarious.
The crowd was just...
He had him in the palm of their hand, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean... He did the rule number one of John Cena's house rules. You will not chant John Cena sucks in this arena. And they queued up. Yes. John Cena sucks. It was great. It was perfect. But then on the other side of him essentially shaming John Cena out of the ring for a while, we had one sad lone violinist, Brando.
I know, playing one sad song.
Oh, man. And it raised the hair on my arms. I immediately knew. And I hadn't been spoiled. I watched on Hulu the next day.
Yeah.
And both major debuts on SmackDown Live I was not spoiled for. And both I marked out hard for. I love Ty Dillinger. And I opened the show with the 10s because he has quickly been one of, I mean, I would say maybe was last year the first big NXT over the WrestleMania weekend event? Or was that 2 years ago? I think it was Dallas, right?
Yeah, Dallas, because that was when Shinsuke debuted.
Correct. So ever since then, I've become like a quite like I watch NXT as often as possible, and I do try to stay current on what's going on. And Ty Dillinger quickly became one of my favorites. So when he debuted, that was great. But the violinist comes out, man, and I knew. And the crowd went nuts. Now I got to ask you, Brando, how many people can you name that have had that kind of response on their debut who have done zero ring work during their debut and been that over? He didn't touch The Miz. He didn't hit The Miz with any moves. He didn't threaten The Miz. He didn't even really glance at The Miz, as far as I could tell.
He just interrupted him, yeah.
He just interrupted him and got out of the way. Now, granted, that sets up a beautiful thing. If those two end up on the same show after this superstar shakeup, then Miz can be like, oh, why'd you interrupt me? And then he's got heat and Shinsuke, and then that sets up a whole different interesting thing, because, again, I like both those guys. But I loved Shinsuke Nakamura's debut. It's about damn time. He's on the blue brand, Brando, and I'm really happy for that.
I'm very happy as well. The only thing is that we need AJ Styles to stick around.
I agree.
Moving on.
We need some of those New Japan matches to happen on SmackDown.
Damn it, yes. Moving on, though, we have Seth Rollins defeating Triple H in a non-sanctioned match, which they have a sanctioned referee for.
You hate that.
Yeah, I do. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
I think we've talked about this several times, that you're just not a fan of the idea of it's unsanctioned, but we need a sanctioned referee to supervise.
And what do you think of Triple H's entrance here on the tricycle?
What the fuck? Why? I don't get it, Brandon. I even called this when we had Joe on the last episode in our preview. I said, what kind of crazy extravagant entrance are they going to have for Triple H so he can lose? He had an extravagant entrance and then lost. I mean, he had police cruisers behind him, and granted, it looked
in front of him
really cool. I mean, it was fucking impressive, but why?
He looked like such a goof on that damn bike, though. Like, it just looked weird. Like, it's like I don't think anyone anywhere has ever looked tough riding a trike.
He could have been a villain in Brutal Legend.
Yes. However, Steph looked hot as hell.
Woo, God, she's getting finer with age.
She got ass for days. And I'll just leave that as that. Yeah, so I also liked Rollins' entrance, where he comes out wearing all gold with the torch. He has a torch. And the proverbial torch that Triple H handed him. And then he burns down the kingdom.
Yep.
They did a lot of, you know, so they had like an 80-yard ramp on this. We have not talked about the set. I thought this set was great.
Oh, man. Finally, they did something over the top. I mean, you got to think how high up they were when they started. They were probably, I would say, like a good two stories in the air at the top of the ramp.
It was pretty cool because the top of the ramp goes from one side of the arena all the way down to going towards the middle. And it was so cool to see them so high up above the fans and then slowly start descending. Just as a side note right here, I can definitely see why they had Taker start in the middle of the ramp. Because if he'd have walked the entire length of the ramp, we'd still be waiting on that right now. You know, I'm just saying.
We might not have had a finish to the match. They might have had to give it a 10 count.
But I thought the Rollins-Triple H sanctioned-unsanctioned match was actually pretty damn good. I thought both of these guys worked really hard.
Yeah, it was great, too. And, you know, I can't tell how much of this is work because Seth is so good at selling the injury, but I can't believe that he's that injured and competing on Raw the very next night.
No, I mean,
and I think that was their shortcoming, honestly. Like, if you're gonna have Seth win, the only thing I wish they would have done is had Joe come up and blow him up again, to give him just a little bit more time to continue to heal if he's really needing it, you know?
Yeah, obviously he can go if he's got his knee wrapped. So that's not an issue, but I see where you're coming from, where it's like all throughout Mania, you know, they're all going, is he hurt? Can he go? Is he going to get hurt again? And it's like the next night, oh, he's in a match already.
Yep, just in a match and him still doing crazy dangerous ass moves that he probably shouldn't do if his knee was actually as hurt as he claims it's hurt.
All right, Dan, I guess I'll wrestle him.
But you know what? Mad props to Rollins. I'm glad he didn't miss Mania this year. Everything works out for a reason, you know? The story sold itself.
Oh, yeah, man.
Honestly, Joe actually hurting him made that story even cooler. As unfortunate as it is to say that.
So.
Yes.
What do you think about the next match? Randy Orton defeating Bray Wyatt for the WWE title.
I totally disagree, however. Because, again, I'm a huge Bray Wyatt fan. I think this was a moment to solidify Bray, give him his WrestleMania moment that I still don't think he's been officially handed and deserves, long overdue. Bray's been one of my favorite performers of the NXT crop to evolve into something that is next level. The stuff they're doing with him now on SmackDown, making him almost like Undertaker Phenom 2.0 with the mysticism and shit, I don't know if I need that particularly. However, the only reason I see them booking Randy as the winner in this match was because now he's only a couple title wins out from being in the same breath as Cena and Triple H and Flair. And obviously, he's probably going to get there. To just keep it real, when you're at 13 and you've kind of been a poster boy for the company, they're probably going to push you and allow you to have that kind of glory. But does that mean then we're setting up for a world where it's John Cena versus Randy Orton for the 498 millionth time for whoever wins gets their 17th title and has more titles than Flair? Because it's coming, Brandon. That's 4 years down the road. And that's what they're setting up right now. Unbeknownst to the common wrestling fan that has no idea and thinks that it was just, oh, cool, fucking Randy Orton won, RKO out of nowhere.
I didn't like this match. I was pretty bored throughout most of it. With Bray coming in, having been with, you know, christened with the ashes of Sister Abigail, I expected him to want to destroy Orton, and instead he just, you know, hooked up a projector above the ring and put images onto the ring.
Yeah, did you see the one where somebody took
Triple H's face?
So yeah, there's the Triple H with the Triple H standee, and he's pointing at himself. Yeah. Somebody did like a bunch of Triple H's pointing at a bunch of Triple H selves from all across the different eras of Triple H. And then they put that into the ring. Oh man, I lost it. Hilarious.
I saw the one where they took like Hunter's face when he's working out. And he was... Have you seen that one?
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah. I was just disappointed. I really wish Bray would have won, like you said, but I don't know, man. Out of all the matches on this entire card, this is the one that I was disappointed with, and that's sad to say.
I was hyped about this match.
Yeah, I was too, especially with the...
definitely fell flat.
Especially with the Orton... burning down, you know, the compound and all that stuff, and it just...
WWE is PG television, but they support arsonists.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
They do. Let me get my glasses back on here. Get my cheaters. Oh yes, how could I forget? Brock Lesnar defeated Goldberg for the WWE Universal Championship. In what is the shortest match of the night?
Yeah, was that like 6 minutes?
4 minutes and 45 seconds.
Wow, I overestimated. Shit, I thought 6 minutes sounded a little short.
However, I like this match, even though there wasn't much. man, that was the crowd hot for this.
Goldberg got put down, man.
He did, but you know what? Okay, so when everything started and Lesnar started hitting him with the Germans, and the crowd was kind of split on Goldberg. Not they weren't all booing him. You were getting some Goldberg chants in there. But then Lesnar got the Germans and then got speared to fucking death.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Goldberg, it could be, and it's awesome because the camera didn't show Goldberg getting up. It just showed Goldberg hitting Lesnar.
No way.
Oh, man, he hit him hard. And that's what I will say is that both of these guys, while not doing a whole lot, they did it very hard and very intensely. And from the get-go, the crowd was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you know, because then Goldberg, he speared him again, and they went outside and speared him through the barricade, got back in, went for jackhammer, got a near fall, went for another spear. Lesnar jumped over him. Like,
sick.
That was badass. And then he hit seven more Germans to get 10. And then hit him with an F5 and beat him.
I will say, man, Goldberg took a nasty hit when he speared Lesnar through the barricade.
Yeah.
Part of the barricade came off and the steel part nailed him. And I saw him like keep grabbing his ear like, oh, man, that really like cleaned my clock a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Both guys worked pretty hard. Better than their 20 match, the WrestleMania 20.
Shockingly enough, yes, you know, way better.
And they did way less, and the crowd was super hot. I honestly, if the crowd had been dead, it probably would have meant that this match wasn't anything. You know, this is one of those situations where the crowd helps make the match, because they were just like, they were hanging on every move, even though there was like a total of 4 moves done in the whole match.
I feel like people weren't sure if Lesnar would actually win. I know that was the rumor, and everyone heard that Goldberg was possibly leaving, and we still don't know if that's true, because they are still in negotiations from what I understand. And maybe by now, by the time people are hearing this, maybe Goldberg ended up on SmackDown or something. Who knows? But after Raw was off the air, on Raw Talk, they had like a whole like showed like the finish of the dark match. And then Goldberg came out after the show was off air to do like a spot where he pretty much did a shoot. Did you see this?
Yes.
And he talked about, you know, and I tell you what, I give him more props than anybody else because that crowd was nuts and he kept them chill.
Yeah.
Because he just kept going, look, seriously, this isn't a part of the show. I'm just talking to you because you guys are the fans and you need to hear what I have to say. And he brought his son out. His son fell, which was hilarious. Sorry, Goldberg's kid, but it was funny. What can you do? And then, of course, he made a joke that his kid was already taken more bumps in that one moment than he took in his entire career until last night. But possibly the end of an era. I don't know, man. I liked Goldberg's return here. I kind of hope he sticks around a little bit longer and maybe we get him kind of like Lesnar was for a while. Shocking to say.
I'm actually good if he decides to just do no more, because I really feel like Goldberg's limited. Obviously, his move set has basically included 2 moves since he came back, and that's painfully obvious. I really don't think this match going 4 minutes and 45 seconds is the longest match. It's longer than all the matches that he had since he came back.
Yeah,
combined. So I'm good with this being his run in this, you know, his right off into the sunset, because he came in, he got to be a champion again when that title by all intents and purposes should have been the Owens and Jericho blow off. They didn't do that. They did this instead, but you know, I'm okay with it. Some fans are not, some fans are pretty up in arms that Owens was robbed, and you're not entirely wrong, but I'm okay with it. That being said, the six-pack women's challenge, this wasn't billed as a six pack. It was supposed to be like Alexa Bliss versus the entire roster on SmackDown, and it just ended up being like the same women that we've seen for a while. And they kind of played it safe and had Naomi get the belt back in her hometown. Kind of wish they would have saved her return, to be honest with you.
It was a surprise as well.
Yeah.
It would have made it much cooler, Brando. We talked about that last week. This match was nothing really overly spectacular. It's unfortunate. I think the SmackDown women have really shined. Not to say that they've outshined Raw's women or that the Raw women have outshined SmackDown. I think they're two different, honestly, kind of two different divisions that run two different ways organically.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's cool, but they missed the mark really kind of hard on this match. It was nice to see Naomi get the title back, but again, it wasn't nearly as emotional. How dope would it have been if, you know, they maybe did it gauntlet style and they had Becky or had Alexa Bliss going through people and it was a gauntlet. Whoever ended up winning at the end was over. So maybe, you know, Becky Lynch ends up beating Alexa third or something. And then now you've got the good guy who won. Everyone's cool with it. And then Naomi came back. That's telling a story, you know? But it is what it is. I feel like we've wasted too much time kind of going prattling on about it.
That brings us to the match we've already kind of talked about, the main event, Roman Reigns defeating The Undertaker.
Yeah. And I'll say it again. It is what it is. It's apparently his yard now. We're going to try to silence the Roman Empire is probably the only way we really can do it. I think that the idea is if everybody's just quiet and Roman doesn't get a reaction, it'll force Vince's hand. It'll force him to make Roman a heel. And I think that will make me actually like him because the heat that he already naturally has will make sense. It's not like, God, all these people hate him. Why can't you see that we hate him? Why don't you make it to where it's fun to hate him? It worked with The Rock.
Yeah, but
you're quick to put those two in the same conversation. You've reminded us a couple times over that Roman and The Rock are family.
As I talked to about with John Tyler Christopher at LaFeyCon. Nice plug. I talked to him on stage, off air, obviously. That with Roman, they're in a unique position where Roman being a face who's getting booed is not affecting ticket sales. He has now the highest merch sales. He surpassed Cena finally.
Hold on, though, because that is an inflated number. Do you know why it's inflated?
Why is that?
I was watching some different shows, and somebody was talking about how when you go to a live event currently, there are more different variations of Roman Reigns merch than any other superstar.
Yep.
So while, yes, he is outselling people 10 to 1, let's say, it's an inflated number because here's the reason. You go to a live event. And for Raw, you might not see but one Kevin Owens shirt, okay? And if there's only one Kevin Owens shirt and every Kevin Owens fan buys one shirt, that's still only maybe 11,000 sales. But let's say the same number of people are Roman Reigns fans, just for crazy talk, and they buy five items because there's 20 different things to choose from, of course his sales are going to be inflated. I don't think that the WWE should be hanging their hat on the fact that Roman has the highest merch sales when he has the most different kinds of merchandise. Of course, the same thing for a while could have been said of Cena. There was a time when he had like eight different shirts that you could choose from, you know?
But are the more items a response to how well the items are selling? Like,
I don't know.
How well the original item was selling. So now there's a higher demand for it. That's what I'm saying. That's kind of what I'm getting at. But what I told John was, in my opinion, is it's not affecting ticket sales. Roman on top of house cards, houses are still drawing where they want them to be. Merch sales are where they want them to be. And they don't sell pay-per-views anymore, Nate. They sell network subscriptions. And Reigns is just one aspect of that network subscription.
Oh, and it's not even that big of an aspect when you think about the grand scheme of things.
You know, the hardcore fan gets the network for many different reasons other than Roman. Roman is the guy who's going to be on the face of, you know, the public face of the company as far as, like, being the poster child. So it's a much different era that we live in now. I don't think fans are going to actually be silent for him at all. That will not work. I've even said, like, in the past, is like, for like, man, if people would just like, and I thought it would be hilarious. And of course on this, it would be fucking awful because Taker retired, but get it, if Reigns is in the last match, after the match before that, everyone just leaves.
Oh man, that would have been
or brutal. Or instead of leaving, everyone just turns around
or gets on their phones.
Well, no, getting on their phones, it still looks like people are watching somewhat.
No, just look down on your phone.
But if everybody actively turns their back to the ring, how funny would that be?
Damn, you can't script that shit. If that happens, like, it's about to be changing in the WWE. Now, Brandon, I gotta know, now that we've kind of discussed and dissected the Raw, the SmackDown, the NXT event, WrestleMania itself, by this point in time, again, the shakeup will have already happened, but I kind of want to predict and see how off or on we are. Just a couple moves, just a couple things. Now, I want to say, I know as smart wrestling fans, we might know the moves that they intend to make. So keeping that in mind, I want to hear moves that you would want them to make, not necessarily what you think they are going to do based on what we know from different sources.
Rollins to SmackDown.
Cool.
New Day to SmackDown.
Okay.
Charlotte to SmackDown.
Ooh. Now who's coming to Raw?
I don't want him to, but I think AJ's going.
Okay. So Rollins for AJ.
Yeah.
Oh, AJ's been a problem for you, Shane. Oh, well, Rollins has been a problem for me, Shane. Let's switch him.
I think there's going to be a swap for Charlotte. I don't know who it's going to be. I can see it being either Alexa Bliss or Becky Lynch.
Bliss is needed on Raw, I think.
Probably, yes. That is probably the way to go. I don't think the Hardys are going anywhere. I don't think anybody who returned or debuted is going anywhere. I don't think Reigns is going anywhere. I don't think Strowman's going anywhere. So the way I see it, you put Rollins over on SmackDown, he becomes the man over there. The problem is, it's like getting enough people to challenge. We live in a world, Nate, where by this time next year, we could be seeing Nakamura challenging for the WWE title.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Against Seth Rollins. Imagine that.
Oh,
at Mania next year. Holy
that
shit.
It would be a barn burner match. It might be one of the most incredible matches that happens in our lifetime, honestly, because those two are next level performers.
Yeah, they are.
And they bring it to a different level. And, you know, AJ versus Nakamura is one thing. AJ's kind of getting a little bit older. Seth is still young and a little bit fresh.
Nakamura's getting a little bit older too.
Also true.
The thing that sucks about AJ is that it seems like they're starting to turn him face. And if he goes to Raw, he's going to get, if he's babyface, that means he's under Roman. And that means he's never going to be top guy. I think AJ should stay on SmackDown. I think you move Rollins to SmackDown and have Roman and Balor on Raw as the top top baby faces. Then over on SmackDown, you have AJ and Rollins as the top baby faces. Maybe keep AJ heel, but maybe keep him like a different kind of heel than what he was. They need to transition out of the Bray Orton storyline. I feel like they've lost me at this point.
Yeah.
We keep circling with Bray. Oh, Rowan's back. Got a sheep gas mask on.
Yeah, looking like something out of Fallout 4.
Yeah, something like that. It was just, man, I have a hard time taking anybody, like any big star, away from SmackDown, to be honest with you.
I mean, for me, I've kind of thought about this, and one thing I think is a huge opportunity, and you can, honestly, you can use an interesting barter system in this regard. How cool would it be if Raw traded, or actually, let me start this over. How cool would it be if SmackDown traded Mojo Rawley to Raw in exchange for Sami Zayn, who would then be in the Land of Opportunity, where at some point he could actually challenge for the WWE title and maybe give him a chance to really brilliantly shine away from Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
They've been glued to the hip, and I love that they're great working together, but let's give them some room to breathe.
Yeah, you're right. Sami needs to go. Sami needs to go to SmackDown.
I mean, I think that's a little bit of a smaller scale, like a mid-card move. A big card move, I do see Rollins and AJ as a very sensible thing. You can swap tit for tat there, and it works. But alternately, how bizarre would it be if Lesnar and Randy traded? Boom, out of nowhere, Lesnar's back on SmackDown, where he ran roughshod for years. You know?
That would be crazy, but I think that's a wild shot, because I really think that they're going to keep Lesnar on what they consider to be the A show.
And I think SmackDown's your A show at this point. I think they just are outworking Raw.
I mean, I like SmackDown better, but I think Vince will never see it that way. Doesn't, unless SmackDown's bringing in like nines or tens in ratings, he's not going to see it as like the A show. I think they want to keep, you know, Brock over there. I've heard rumor that Brock might not defend the belt until June or July. And that when he does, it's going to be against Strowman. Yawn. Even though Strowman's growing on me a little bit. I just said that's not going to buy a ticket for me. I don't care to see that match.
I don't really either.
Question.
Answer.
Okay, so we didn't mention that Drew McIntyre is now, he signed a new NXT deal.
Yes, he did.
He's looking to be the next challenger for Bobby Roode's title. That'll be a great match.
Ooh, that'll be a classic.
But we are just a few months away from a 3-man band reunion.
Oh, wow. Gender, Heath, and Drew are all back in the company. Oh, yeah. My. Totally different places in all of their individual careers, though,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, they are.
I think Heath has had a reinventioning, as well as Gender, honestly.
Gender's been doing a lot more here lately and making a name.
He's a little
himself.
Bit more vocal and rough.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good.
Drew's had really big success in TNA and other independent promotions.
But I wanted to say, Brando, real quick, you were talking about tag teams possibly switching. It actually, like, if any tag team or if any teams are going to switch from Raw and SmackDown and vice versa, it really genuinely would not surprise me if it was the tag champs. Because they've not officially put the Hardys in any storyline type anything.
Yeah.
I think they're getting a little bit closer to solving whether or not they're going to be able to use the Broken Universe. I think that answer's yes. The WWE has way more money than Anthem, and they're just going to out-hustle them, essentially. Obviously, it seems to me that maybe Anthem and them aren't in the right here, and they're just dragging this on for their own sake and sanity, and it's going to end up costing them in the end, and it might help put the company out officially if they aren't you know, careful.
I don't know if it's going to go that far, but...
But, you know, I do. I could see the Usos going to Raw, and I could see the Hardys going to SmackDown and starting a new program with anybody. But really, what I want to see is American Alpha on Raw. I mean, for God's sakes, they are mini Kurt Angles on Kurt Angle's show. American Alpha has a funny side to them. I think if you could channel that funny side, it would really evolve, much like Kurt Angle. They have the American Alpha thing. He was the American hero. I mean, it just writes itself, Brando.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. I think, honestly, though, in my opinion, I think SmackDown needs American Alpha more than Raw does. I think Raw's tag team scene has been boosted while SmackDown's has been ignored. So we need the New Day over there, mixing it up with American Alpha, mixing it up with the Usos. With the Revival now on Raw, I feel like with them, if the Hardys stay on Raw, which I think they're going to, if they stay on Raw, then the Revival are really going to carry that, you know, the tag team brand. Yeah. This would be a great opportunity to split up Sheamus and Cesaro if that's what they want to do. Although they've been doing a good job of working together.
Oh, yeah. They've kind of got it down to where they're over.
Yeah. And so maybe now's not the time to split them up like at all. Maybe now's the time to double down on them and keep going.
Push them a little bit further.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to their tag match against the Hardys. That'll be great.
Yep.
But,
well, is there anything else we want to dive into this week on Journey into Wrestling, Brando?
I mean, breaking down this whole week of events has been like the focus, and a lot happened, a lot went down. You know, we mentioned that Kurt Angle's the new GM on Raw. Raw after Mania was wild. It was pretty nuts. All night, Beach Ball Mania.
They cut 8 minutes of chants on Hulu, by the way. Literally, Roman comes out. He stands in the ring for a second. This is my yard now. Puts the mic down. I rewatched it, and it was like 8 minutes of chants because he didn't say shit. And then he said, this is my yard now.
Oh, dude, watching that lie was that was pretty surreal how long that went. And then it transitions to from thank you. It was awesome to hear them say thank you, Taker, for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. And then it was also Finn Balor returned on Raw. We forgot to mention that.
Yeah, he did. And I do think that he's going to stay on Raw. Don't get me wrong. If I had my way, I would keep AJ on SmackDown and bring Finn over and bring Seth over and just let Roman keep Raw. I don't care.
Yeah, it's Roman's yard. Leave it.
Yeah, leave it. Let's go to SmackDown. Let's go across the street. You know, property's better over there anyway. That being said, though, I don't really think there's much else to cover. Great Mania. Really busy weekend for us all together. I kind of wish, in a way. I mean, doing what we did was awesome, but, you know, we have such the past few years, even before we started watching them together again at 31, I've always had this big Mania weekend set, how, like, I'd watch the Hall of Fame, and then I'd have my Mania day where I'd make food and be chillaxed, and that was not the case this year.
No time.
Nope.
We got no time.
I got home in just enough time to finish the Battle Royal. And then I think AJ versus Shane had been going on when I ordered food. So
I think I started WrestleMania at like 6:45. So I was about 45 minutes behind you, and I didn't watch the pre-show until after it was all over.
Yeah.
But if that's going to do it for this week at Journey to Wrestling, I don't really have anything else, Brandon. It was a it was a great one, man. And also, congratulations to us. 1 year of having Journey into Wrestling as a podcast.
Boom.
We didn't even really cover that, but, you know, it happened.
It did.
It's true.
It's damn true.
It's damn true.
Time to go home.
All right, let's wrap it up, dude. For Journey into Wrestling, I'm Nate.
I'm Brando, and you can check us out on all our social medias, Journey into Comics on Stuff. You'll find us. You'll definitely find us, JIC Podcast, Twitter, Journey into Comics Podcast, Facebook, Journey into Comics on Instagram, Journey into Comics Podcast at gmail.com to email us if you want to. Check us out on our podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play Music. Check us out on journeyintocomics.podbean.com, and you'll get all 132 episodes of Journey into Comics. Is this episode 17, 18 of Journey into Wrestling?
Yeah. Something like that.
And then, of course, you also get Foodies Watching Movies, which, come on, you get three awesome podcasts for the price of nothing because it's free. You can just go on there and you can check us out. So, yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh, and shout out to any of our fans that are listening to Journey into Wrestling right now. We're about to do Journey into Comics next. Woo!
Boom.